Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, good morning, ladies and gentlemen, wherever you are around the world. This is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba with my wife, Torina Mwamba, here in Dallas, Texas, the United States of America, broadcasting live here on Blog Talk Radio on the Mwamba World Outreach School of Ministry. I welcome you all wherever you're listening to us around the world, and to let you know that we are here for you. We are running for Jesus here in Dallas. By the way, the weather here is pretty cool. You know, we had a little bit of sprinkling of rain, but otherwise the weather is very nice and cool. It started getting a bit cold last night, and early this morning it was pretty cold. You know, I'm on a marathon to reach the world for Jesus Christ, of which I know that you are on a marathon too. But I want to challenge you one thing. When you come and appear before the Lord Jesus Christ, when that day comes, what are you going to tell him if you never even won one single soul to the kingdom of God? What excuse are you going to have? What are you going to tell Jesus Christ that it was that this is the thing that hindered me from reaching others for the Lord, from reaching others for the kingdom? What are you going to say? You know, I'm here to challenge you, beloved ones, that we as children of God can do exploits in God's kingdom. God has you and me as children of faith, as men and women who can do exploits to win the world for Jesus Christ. There is nothing that pleases the Lord apart from us leading others to Christ. If you have never done so, you better do so, because the end is getting nigh. But you know, one thing I want to challenge you is this. It's never too late. It's never too late to ask for God's forgiveness. It's never too late to get back to God and say, Lord, I missed it. Can you have mercy on me? It's never too late to cry for God's anointing and power to come upon you and then re-anoint you and set you ablaze for the kingdom. It's never too late to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to fill you afresh with the Holy Spirit and with. It's never too late for the Lord to give you that zeal to reach the lost for the kingdom of God. It's never too late. It's only too late when you say it's too late. You see what I'm saying? When you say, oh, you know what? I don't think I'm going anywhere. I don't think I'm going to manage anything. I don't think I'm going to win nothing. Then it's too late for you. But you know, once you make a decision that you're going to reach the world for Jesus Christ, the Lord will be there to back you up. You know, today we are looking at how overcoming the devil and living an overcomer's life. A life where we overcome sin, we overcome the temptations of the devil, and we overcome failure. Mind you, God created us to be overcomers. The title of my message today is entitled, Taking Authority Over Your Life. Taking authority over your life. Our scripture reading is from the second epistle of Peter, and chapter number 1, reading from verse number 1 to number 11. Although in my actual initial advertisement, I put verse 1 to 21. Now, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before your divine holy presence. We thank you that, Lord, it's only through you that we can be overcomers. Without you, Lord, we can do nothing. But when we are with you, when we are strengthened by you, we can overcome obstacles that go beyond our human comprehension. We are on this race where the devil is trying to pull us back and to try and destroy us. But Lord, we're going to run fervently with the spirit of an overcomer. And we know that we shall overcome by the power of the blood of Jesus and by the name of the Lord. And therefore, so as we look through the scriptures, we ask for the Spirit of the Lord himself to abound upon us, the grace of God to be with us, and empower us to speak forth the word of God with fervency of spirit. Bless us, Lord, today we pray in Jesus' name. As everybody agreed together with me and said, amen. Amen. Well, let's look to the Lord and look at this scripture as I read. The Bible says in verse number 1 of 2 Peter chapter number 1, reading from verse number 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Verse number 4 of 2 Peter 1. Verse number 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Verse number 5. And beside this, giving diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Verse number 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. Verse number 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, till the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in all time by the will of man, but holy men of all of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Now, here is a very important word from the Apostle Peter. And when you look through these scriptures, you see one thing that actually he had known that he was going to be leaving this world in death. Because, you know, he says there that in verse number 14, he says, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle. When he says, knowing this, that shortly I must put off my tabernacle, the tabernacle he's talking about is the body, is our body. You see, we live in this body, that's where our spirit and soul tabernacles. To tabernacle is to actually live with, okay, or live within. When somebody says, I'm going to the tabernacle of God, it means he's going to the house of God. And so when he says, I'm going to leave this, my tabernacle, he's saying, I'm going to leave my earthly dwelling place, which is the body. That means he's going to die. So he knew he was going to die. And he says to the church he wrote to, as you know, Peter wrote to the Jews. And it's also a letter to us too, as believers. We are spiritual Jews, by the way. And so he says, even as our Lord Jesus Christ assured me. This is amazing, you know, when we see that the Lord Jesus Christ had shown Peter that he was going to leave this world or he was going to die. Let me tell you what. Many times I've read and I've also witnessed that men of God are never taken by death in surprise. God always lets them know when it's time to go. I remember the life of Gordon Lindsay, the founder of Christ for the Nations. I read in his book, The Diaries by Freda Lindsay. In there, she writes about her husband, Gordon Lindsay, the founder of Christ for the Nations, as he was about to die. God let him know that he was going to take him. And in letting him know, Gordon Lindsay began to prepare his family to say bye-bye. He called his kids who were overseas, brought them all to Dallas, Texas, where they have their headquarters. And they all gathered together, and he gave them a good bye-bye, and then he died. Archbishop Idahosa, who was my mentor, the one who trained me in ministry initially when I resigned my job and went to Nigeria. I wasn't there in Nigeria because I lived with this man for quite a long time, for 1 year. And then the first year in school, you know, he would come minister to us and all that. Then in the second year, I lived with him at the Faith Mansion. And I drove him around, you know, wherever he wanted to go, in the Peugeot car, which he gave me, which was also brand new. And when he was about to die, I understand that he was in Nigeria at that time, and there were doctors and missionaries who worked on his projects in Nigeria. They were gathered at his Faith Mansion, the home where he lived, and they were about to have a meal. I understand that in the morning of that particular day, he had called his wife in Europe. Actually, she was here in America, telling her to come back home. And in that phone call, Mrs. Idahosa said she was very touched about the specifics that he gave her pertaining to ministry and things to do and pertaining to prayer. But, well, she said she cut short her missionary tour here in the United States and made her way to get back to Nigeria. According to the message I received, it happened that as he was having a meal with other these missionaries who were working on the hospital project, as he was having a meal, they were, I think, chatting nicely and talking as he was having a meal. Right then and there, I understand his heart stopped and he died. You know, many times, men of God who have walked with God faithfully, when it's time for them to go to glory, their bodies are not ravaged. I know there are martyrs like Peter himself, who was crucified, the head upside down, feet up and head down. That's how he was crucified. Because when they crucified Peter, he said, no, don't crucify me like the way the Lord died. It was an humble attitude to not die like the way the Lord Jesus Christ died. But the point is, God usually does not surprise his prophets. He does not surprise his men of God or his servants. Whenever he's about to take them home, he will let them know in good time. And you find that genuine men of God, they have time to prepare for their departure from this world into the next. But having said that, the thing we are looking at is for us to be overcomers, to have dominion in our life. Peter here says, you know, I like the way he says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained the precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. First he says to them, grace to you. That's what he says. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord. And of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Now here the Apostle Peter is talking about the virtue or the glory that has come from the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, according to his divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life. Excuse me. Unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us unto glory and virtue. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ has called us to glory and virtue. Now, that word virtue means to the abounding grace of God. Virtue means the essence of God or the glory of God that comes unto us because of the righteousness of the Lord. And so he says here, according to his divine power and has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now what you need to know is there is a corruption. When he talks about corruption, what is he talking about? Corruption is talking about the decay that goes on in the world, the sins that go on in the world, the way people live, the debauchery, the descending of people into the pits, the way people leave the levels of glory and faith, and meander in mediocrity, and meander in total sin, that actually causes God to have such anger against human creation. There is corruption that goes on in this world. You remember when God came and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, the corruption of that time was so great that God wouldn't stand it. He said he had sent the angels. The angels, when they spoke to Abraham, guess what they said? We've come to see and prove that these things be so, for the alarm of the sin had reached unto heaven. So in this world, without Jesus, there is corruption that goes on. There is degradation. There is complete sin that goes on. But you see, it's through Christ that we escape this degradation and corruption that goes on into the world. And so he says here that, verse number 5, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Now, before he says about, before this, he says, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Look what he says in verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding promises, that by these you might be but partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, here Peter is giving us a key to be overcomers. He says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. So the promises that God has given us are the keys for us to become overcomers. He has given us these promises so that we can overcome. That by these, you might be partakers of the divine nature. When you get these promises and you keep them, you'll be a partaker of the divine nature of God. Then you will escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. Verse number 5. And beside this, giving all diligence unto your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Now here the Apostle Peter is talking about the character that we must have. He first says, besides this, besides what? Besides the gifting of God that he gives us to overcome the corruption that is in this world, he said, whereby are given unto us exceeding gracious promises. He says, beside these promises, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Now, when he says add to your faith virtue, he's talking about us getting that grace that to keep us balanced in the Lord. In that, when we have this grace, the Apostle Peter says, and to this grace, add to your virtue or grace, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance. You see, you can have knowledge, but when you don't have temperance, that knowledge will not be of any effect. To control your emotions, you control your behavior, you control the way you respond to things emotionally, and the way you get attracted to things emotionally, you become temperate. You control your emotions. That's why it says, add to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. Now, to temperance, the control of your emotions that drive you into the wrong direction. Here the Lord Jesus is saying through Peter, add to temperance, knowledge to temperance, and to temperance patience. You know, when we are walking the walk of faith, we need a lot of patience. Because in the kingdom of God, you know what? Things don't happen overnight. Many times we begin to do something and we want to see big things happen the next day. You know, I've been there. When God called me to the ministry, and I was thinking big, building like Oral Roberts. I said, well, we're going to have a university just like Oral Roberts. Oh my God, I'm going to travel, be around the world and do great ministry like Kenneth Copeland. Oh, we're going to have a big and outstanding ministry like Benin. Well, those days I was thinking big, and to me, because the Spirit of the Lord was so heavy on my life, I thought it was going to happen the next day. But it takes time. First, you're going to be tested. God has got to make you pass through tests in the crucible of the fire of faith. God has got to mold you, make you, try you, so that you can come out as pure God. But let me tell you what, ministry, things don't just happen in ministry. There is a warfare that we face. There are devils that want to stop you. There are people. People are used by demons to try and stop you. Some will come and talk nicely to you and say, you know what, I'm just going to advise you as a dear brother or sister, do you know that you're headed the wrong way? These things don't make sense. You see, you got to overcome all those bad talk. It looks like sweet talk, but it's bad talk because it will get you out of your vision. People come and speak nicely to you. I don't think this is God working, you know. The way things are happening, nothing is moving. You better reconsider your decision. Those small little hindrances can pose long lapses of time before you can see your vision come to pass. That's why you gotta be temperate. That's why you gotta be patient. You gotta fight this fight of faith with patience. You know, when you hear of people with big ministries these days, ask them, when did the ministry start to pick up? When did they become big and well known around the world? It wasn't after 2 years of ministry. Neither was it after 3 years of... I'm yet to find a man of God who, within 3 years, had a world impact. No way. God begins to groom them in a place where you can't see. God begins to train them in places where only them and God know. God tests them in private. God tests them in the dedication to his word. God tests them in dedication to their vision that he has given them. Is the way God promotes. They have to pass the test to gain, excuse me. They have to pass the test to gain preeminence in God. Promotion doesn't just come by just speaking it. Promotion from God comes through passing the test. And apart from passing the test, it comes through dedication. Apart from dedication, it comes through faithfulness. By faithfulness, I mean never giving up, no matter what. Because I'm telling you what, when you start in ministry and God gives you a vision, tests are going to come. Some tests will be financial tests whereby you think you don't have what it takes to make it. And you want to throw in the towel and give up. And many times it could be just people. The devil using telling you, you are in the wrong field or things are not moving and nothing is happening. And then you yourself, when you see things not moving, you start to doubt your call. But you know what? When you see that things are not moving, that is the time to dedicate yourself as much as possible to the Lord himself. And to say, you know, God, I'm going to run this run. I'm going to walk this walk of faith and never give up. Also, it says here in verse number 7, unto godliness, brotherly kindness, unto brotherly kindness, charity. Why does he mention brotherly kindness? You know, to win in this battle, we're going to be friends with all ministers. It doesn't mean that every minister that's there is going to be our friend. There are some ministers who are going to be very competitive to the vision that God has given us. There will be some ministers who will be really friends of us. But brotherly kindness here means be ready to be a friend to everybody. Whosoever God brings in your path, try and befriend them. Try and be friendly. Do not cause animosity amongst the brethren. Be a peacemaker. See, when you are a peacemaker, you are planting seeds that will come back to you a hundredfold in thrusting your ministry to the top. By you being friendly with other ministers, you make the steps to arise and get up to those success. Many times people who hate you, people who fight against you, they'll be disappointed when they see you rising, when they see that you are ascending. The more they try to pull you down, the more you arise. Why? Because you see, when you are a person of peace, where there is peace, the blessings of God will be there. So he says there, unto godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. So I challenge you, brethren, that you never fail when you do these things. This is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba here in Dallas, Texas, telling you, we love you. God bless you.